Good evening. How many of you are excited tonight? Let's call people out this summer. Bring your wives, families, children. There's a Sunday school up. Let's get encouraged. Let's have a build up to the conference by faith. Expecting something beautiful tonight. We have Pastor Vijay and Emmanuel that will be speaking tonight. So, yeah, the children will go up, but after the prayer. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you that you have brought us into a place. We are not a small group of people. We are your elect, your beloved, accepted, seated above, a peculiar people, treasure, the pearl of great price, ambassadors, citizens of heaven. Father, thank you that we are those people. We are your body to be the bride at your coming. Bless our service today. We pray, we thank you for each one in this room. Lord, bless our churches, bless the preparations for those that will be coming to the conference. Thank you for the words spoken in Chickalinta. May they meditate on what was spoken to them through the team that went. We pray, we thank you, Father, here. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's welcome Pastor Vijay as he comes to share the word with us.
Good evening. Okay. For a message tonight. The more we know about grace, the more God teaches us about what sin really is. Right? This is just like some random thoughts. And the more we know about grace, the more we see that there are two different kingdoms in this world, and people represent one of the other. Before we, I just share something. Can we think of, as we think about like Easter next week and Passion Week, for illustration, just think of a problem that a person can get into, okay? And then he or she wishes, like, oh, I wish I had not gotten into this. Does that happen? A lot, I guess. I'm speaking out of personal experience, but how about someone walking into a problem, knowing that it is going to be a problem? How about that? Can we think of the cross like that? Did Christ come into this world, step down from heaven to do his Father's will, to come into like muck and yuck of sin, to knowing what he's going to step into, right? Knowing that it's not going to be like a walking into a problem, knowing, is that somewhat of an illustration? Okay, I'll go on with the message. Matthew, John chapter 4, verse 38. John 4:38. I'll read this. There is a principle in life, sowing and reaping, and there's a lot. And the very simple thing about sowing and reaping that people in the world can connect with is you reap what you sow. And it is true. It is true. No one escapes from that principle, because it's like a line that God has drawn, right? And everyone, it applies to everyone. And then there is like another principle, right? In this, one sows and another reaps, or in this verse 38, I send you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. You did not, other men labored and you are entered into their labors, right? So think about that, reaping where I have not labored, reaping where I have not sown. This is what we inherit in the kingdom of God, right? Reaping where I have not sown, reaping a salvation where I have, wow, like free. But God did this. Reaping relationships in the body of Christ where I have not sown. Reaping fruit on the field, reaping fruit on an outreach, in a Bible study, you know, and then I know that, wow, years of labor has, I have not sown this. This is amazing to see. Ah, another principle. Okay, and with that, Matthew chapter 13. the one of the parables of the wheat and the tares, okay? I won't go through every verse, but I'm assuming you know like some basic of this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man which sowed good seed in his field. Yeah? Well, and then later on Christ explains this, the meanings of each of these. It's like great that he takes the time to do that. The good seed is the children of the kingdom, right? Good seed is like you're born again. Good seed is I receive a new identity because of who God is, because of what Christ has done for us. Whoa. Good seed because you are valued for who you are, just being you, not for anything else. How about that? It doesn't happen in the world. Then the tares come up, right? An enemy comes, sows tares. And then tares, the children of the wicked one, it says, right? So we can see these seeds in the world. People despising the grace of God. And this can, I mean, in one application, it can happen in our lives, you know. How about thoughts of doubt that can be projected at you and me against the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God? It's like Genesis 3. It's like, you know, to Eve, God is not good. Okay. If you look at the whole lie and all that, it's basically these two things. And then God is not faithful. Very simple. Right? That is what's behind the lie. How about that? Those are like also tares. The reapers are the angels, right? Though I love those worship songs that we sing, because the angels are like ready to like execute like God's judgment in the world. Huh? And this is the question that's being asked. The servants, right, in that parable, they say, should we go and like, you know, take up like, you know, should we gather up the tares? Because it's like... the next, it's like, wow, there is a gathering time. There is a great harvest time. That's the next event in the calendar. That's the rapture, right? The rapture of the church. And that's what the angels are waiting for. And then there is this question, when is God going to act? Is God going to act now? And in the midst of that, is the forbearance of God. Is the, yeah, like, you know, in these time, it is like, what is God in time, what is, or right now, what God is doing in this world, in your life, and God's timing. How about that? Yeah. So, where are we? I'm just going through like part of, yeah. So this is what the owner says. No, lest while you gather up the tares and you root up also the wheat with them, you'll spoil the wheat, you'll spoil the harvest. Don't. Yeah. This is God's, like I said, forbearance. God is abundant in mercy and slow to anger. Abraham argued with God for Sodom, right? Because of his nephew, right? There, so he's like, there is a lot in Sodom. So here is the thing. It's not for us to, so as we expect what's ahead of us, it is also for you and I to discern the times we are living in, really. And this is like the key for us to expect things from God. And God to like teach us. God to teach us this character of forbearance. And He would instill that in you and me in our lives. It doesn't make us, it really builds perspective to us. And I thought of this word resilience, okay? Resilience is like strength to bear in times of adversity. And it's not just skin deep, it's not personality. It's like, it's deeper than the skin. Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, so I, yeah. Okay. Let's say this Jonah was in Nineveh, right? And then what did God say? I mean, before he went there. He's saying what? I won't go. Why? Because he said, Jonah is like saying, I want the reapers to come. Look at Babylon. Look at what's happened. Look at what they do. I want the reapers to come. And God is like saying, okay, good. But would you be willing to be the good seed? Shall I plant you as the good seed before the reapers come? It's like, I don't know about that so much, right? It's like, then Jonah is like questioning, is it God speaking? There is a Jonah in Nineveh, there is a Daniel in Babylon, there is a Lot in Sodom, there is a Lot in Sodom, Joseph in Egypt, and there is David in Gaza, yeah? And God is teaching us this same thing. Okay, I'll finish with this closing statement, okay? Many times, you remember the illustration I gave you in the beginning? Problem, it's like, how do I get out of it? And then you're deliberately walking into a problem. So, on this side, it's like this. In our walk with God, we can like, there are things that are like, God teaches us, and then there is like, deliverance. Great. But our life cannot just be that. If our life was just that, it would be like a very small box type of life. But if God wants us to move us or mature us also into another type, right? And what's that? He wants us to taste of, like Psalm 18, like the gentleness of God has made me great. Tasting of the gentleness of God that gives the believer capacity to forbear and, you know, he's not running away, but he's actually running into the problem. David is not running away from Goliath, he's running towards him. It just doesn't make sense. But God's, that's the way God is like teaching us, right? Thank you.
Good evening to all of you. So we had a great time in Chikilanta. So everyone was a great preacher there. So it's great that the world needs a lot of preachers, and we as a church have so many preachers to take the message to different parts of the world. So you had an amazing time, and we also thank you for all the prayers that supported us there. Otherwise, which we have found it very difficult there. Actually, I shared there on Ephesians, so I thought I'll just share a concentrated part of it here for a few minutes. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for bringing us into your body, Lord. We thank you for the fellowship and the love which you have given us, Lord. Lord, speak to us this time, Lord. Bless the word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, I'll just read. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So actually here, when we look at it in the Ephesians first chapter, Apostle Paul is showing the riches which Christ has bestowed on the believers. And it is purely the work of God towards the believers who put their trust on him. And now he comes to speak about the he brings in the characters or the status of the offspring of Adam, who is the crown of creation. He first says, you are dead in trespasses and sins. When we look at you are dead in trespasses and sins, when we say a person is dead in tuberculosis, which means tuberculosis has taken the person off. He is finished. That's it. He has no other means of life or anything to act beyond that. So here when we say we are dead in trespasses and sins, that means trespasses and sins has taken over totally the human race. There's no other means for the person to live or to operate. If at all the person lives here, he has to live through the trespasses and sins in the sphere of that. So that is like total depravity. So we cannot function. The highest human good will also operate only in the sphere of this trespasses and sins. So if you look at the highest human good, highest morality, highest integrity, which we see and appreciate, it always has its root and focus only the self. Once the self is touched, all goodness flies away like a fly. Like you scratch the skin and you know it, it's only stone and mud and all filth. So that is the sphere which the race in Adam is in now. And then he goes on to say, wherein in time past he walked according. Not only we are in that sphere, the human race also walked in it. When it says walked, that is conducting the behavior or governing the behavior. There is nothing else to govern for the natural man. That is the only thing. But again, the stress is here. He again further governs it by trespasses and sins. And it is according to the course of this world. When we look at world, Jesus Christ says, I am not of this world. That means, who is of the world? The world, the Satan is the head of this world. Satan and his demons. And all the unsaved believers, unsaved people who come through Adam. All the human race. That is the world he is mentioning. And they set a course to this world. The course is what? Like the philosophies of the world. The goals of the world, the purposes of the world, the pursuits of the world, the aims of the world comes from this world system. First is, which is in dead in trespasses and sins, and whose head is Satan and demons, and all the believers, all the unsaved people who are in the same arena. The philosophies of this world comes from such a sort of ground. So we governed ourselves, the human race governs ourselves according to that course of action. And also, second thing, it also says, according to the prince of the power of the air. A prince, who is a prince? He is the first in authority. So the prince of the power of the air is Satan. He has the authority. And according to that authority, which influences the generation of Adam, we walk in that. Human race walks in that. That is the means which is further enforced by the authority which operates in everyone who is born in the human race. And also the third one, it says, the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience. The spirit now worketh, that is specially controlled and dominated by Satan in individuals. So there are different levels of governance here which happens. One is inherent governance is the trespasses and sins which is taken over and everybody is dead in it. And then comes the course of this world which is designed and implemented by the power of the air and in specific cases dominated and executed by Satan himself. So this is how the generation in the first Adam, of whom all we are also part and we were part earlier, functions. And this group, again he goes on to say, among whom we all had our conversation. Everyone had our way, our walk, like the same way. And in times past, we all had our conversation in time past. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So the lust, the cravings, and which emanates from this nature, we walked according to this. And the desires of mind and flesh. So desire comes from emotion. So emotion has no reason. So if you look at it like that, the highest intellectual and rational people in this world, they also walk like this only, desires of emotion. For example, the systems are governed in a very rational way. And if you ask somebody like a CEO or something, what is his desire? He will say, I want to buy one Benz car, already maybe having some 10 cars. So that doesn't originate in reason. And somebody will say, I want to marry such and such a person. So that is a desire which emanates without reason. And if you say that you already have this many thing, and also the roads are all traffic, and the pollution is so high that it's dangerous to health, that all the reason goes aside behind backside. So this is how everything is governed. The desires governs a person, which is rooted in the nature, which is in dead in trespasses and sins and the other factors which we just saw. And to this, this group has a special relationship with God. And the relationship is which will make us to go and hide behind the bush, which Adam did when he saw God after his fall. So that relationship is, we are related to God and attached to him only to his wrath. So the moment anything of God or truth comes in, we tend to hide, because we are related to God only to his wrath, children of disobedience. Depraved from birth to death. And the only relationship we can have with God is to his wrath and punishment and judgment to hell. But in verse 4, the God who is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us. Here God's richness comes into his place. We saw that we are dead by nature. It's not by our deeds. It's not by our circumstances. Though it follows, but by nature, human race is related to the wrath of God. It is in us. But God, who is rich in mercy, his richness is inexhaustible. It is infinite. So with that richness, he has loved us with his great love. What is his great love? The love that comes from his heart towards the people whom he loves, to the preciousness of the people whom he loves. That's how he looks at the generation which is saturated with sin and which is to be condemned. He looks at with this sort of love, looks at us with preciousness of the people whom he loves. And that causes him, that compels him to sacrifice himself. The love, the worldly love, will look at what is it they can sacrifice for me. That is how the love looks at. What is it which will come to me? What is the sacrifice here other person can do it for me? And even if there is some sacrifice that is done, it is based on a barter system. Now I do this sacrifice, what is it I can expect out of it? And that is not the sort of love here Christ is showing towards us. It's a love which caused him to go to the cross. It's a beautiful songs we heard in the worship. See, that is the love which he went to the cross and he gave his life because of sins, and he paid the wrath of God, and his justice was fulfilled because of his grace. So that is the game changer for the people who are so soaked in sin and who deserved the wrath of God and punishment. Now, verse 5 says, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. So in that, here he says, by grace ye are saved. So when you look at this word grace, what is grace? It's an unmerited favor. But if you look at the usage of this word from the ancient times, the Greeks used this word, love for the beautiful. So anything which has character, which makes the person who looks joyful or the hearer joyful, then they say this is very gracious. Jesus Christ, when he spoke to the people, also the people said his words are gracious because it appealed to their hearts and they met the needs at least at the psychological level. So they said that his words are so gracious. So anything which causes joy and happiness, they called it as gracious. And a next level is like a favor done without any expectation. So that is, they termed it as grace. And then Aristotle goes to a next level and he says, grace is based on the person who bestows it, and it is based on his bounty and free-heartedness. It is purely based on him, and there is no return of anything, any expectation in return. And it says, it is beyond the ordinary course of life. He said that. And so the classical meaning at the time in usage is its grace is that which is conferred freely without any expectation. And it is based on the bounty and free-heartedness of the person who gives and not on the person who receives. And it is beyond the ordinary course of action of in practice. And it is conferred on their best friends mostly, or known people. But Bible, the grace of Christ leaps beyond that into infinity because it is conferred on those who deserve punishment and those who are saturated with total sin and those who deserve only wrath. On it is conferred this grace, and that is the total revolution of the definition of grace from Bible. And it was not cheap. It came through a great price, which is through the cross. And so by that grace, ye are saved. And this grace meets every individual. Christ comes with this grace and with all these benefits to rescue people from their condition. And once a believer, once a person puts his faith, his position is transformed, and he's taken and he's placed in Christ, the second man. That is the greatest gift which Christ has bought. So, and he brings us to a next generation in Christ, the whole new community. It's a mystery. It's a manifold wisdom. That's what Apostle Paul says in the subsequent chapter. When we say it's a manifold wisdom, the world has not ever thought of such a thing. Because we see the world around, it's divided in all aspects. First it is me, and then my family, my town, my nation, and within my nation, my color, my creed, and my race. So many divisions. In the biblical times we saw the Jew and Gentile. So totally divided. And this, when a person puts his faith in Christ and the grace which he offers, he is brought into a community where there is no difference. All distinctions totally removed off. Totally all distinctions removed off. Each nation is trying to build a community within, at least within their own nation like this, but they miserably fail because they realize that if they build like that, they themselves will not be able to hold the power. So immediately they create communal clashes and various clashes which divide people. But here we see a community which is the body of Christ, which is the mystery, manifold wisdom, where there is no distinction and everybody is equal. I read the admission of Gentile into this body is not a big mystery, because there were Gentiles who are also getting converted into Judaism, but treating them at equal status, bringing them an equity before God, that is the greatest mystery which Christ has bought into this current age. And we are part of that. And how we got into this, because He quickened us together with Christ. He quickened us. He made us alive. He caused us to live. The power of the indwelling sin was broken totally. It has no rule or reign with all its death, which causes like tuberculosis causing death. It has no power. And even the course of the world, or the prince of the power of the air, or the spirit has no power. It is totally broken. And the divine life is imparted. And that's how He has quickened us and hath raised up together with Him. From where to where? He has raised up together with Christ. That's the greatest thing one can do. The best the best thing for the person whom he loves. It cannot be beyond this. From the pit to with him, he has raised us together. And he has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So made the citizens of heaven share us with him. We are co-heirs with him. That is the status which is given to this community of believers whom Christ has saved by grace through faith. Why has he done this? He says in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. So here in the ages to come, the two things, ages to follow with no end. His exceeding riches of His grace will be shown because of us, because of our body. We are His heritage for ages to come, for eternity. That is, so some people here think that God is like selfish, because to show His grace, He is doing all this thing for the ages to come. But when we look at our condition, from where it was taken and where He has brought, That is the thing why it is the glory for Him. It is not that God wants to project His glory, so He is inducing something on the on His creation. But the man who chose this and he was dead, but God, because of His grace, taken, and that is the glory He will show for all eternity. And it is on verse 8, and it is, For by grace I save through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's wholly through God, and it is by Him. And in verse 10 we see, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are His workmanship. We are His handiwork. The saved community is a handiwork of Christ Jesus. He has done it, every part of it. He has done it. And it is in Christ Jesus, and it is for good works. It is unto good works. It is for, and He says, these good works has been preordained, and you are to walk in this. So it is, earlier we were walking in another ordained thing, which we saw in verse 1 and 2. Which is the nature which we saw when we started this. But now He is talking about a preordained thing, which is prearranged for us to walk. So sometimes when we say works itself, because a lot of legalism is in practiced everywhere, sometimes the word work itself is a sort of offense to a lot of people, because the world has taken the legalism into an extent where they say that if you do this, you can attain the position which Christ is giving, which is totally another gospel. But here, the work is specified because of the position which God has given us, and because He has quickened us. And also in the verse, in chapter 1, if we see, He talks of the power which does that. The power which was in operation in the resurrection of Christ, that is the power which enabled us and brought us and quickened us and enthroned us and made us citizens of heavens. And that power is in operation in us, and it is available to all believers. And with this power, we are asked to not to work out good works, but to walk in it, but to regulate our lives by it, but to govern our lives by it. And those predestined good works is specified in the Word of God for every situation of our life. And we are called to depend on Him and depend on His power and give room for the Holy Spirit to enable us to walk in our lives. So that is the second, that is a privilege which we have in Christ Jesus. And this is not for now only, it is for eternity, forever and ever. And we as a community of believers, children of God, we are called to, we're removing all distinctions, we are called to be, to function in the world, to walk in His works, and to pray, and to call the other people who are outside into this amazing fellowship by taking the gospel of grace into the world. And that is the commission which is given to us. And we need to yield to Him. All this we can avail only by yielding to God and going by it. Otherwise, we will be functioning, having all these riches, we will be functioning in the first Adam place itself. We can see that in the life of a lot of our biblical fathers. And for example, if we look at Peter, he said he will not, Christ is telling him, you will deny me. And he is telling, I will not deny you, even if everybody denies, I will never deny you. And then he goes on to deny three times. So that is because he was in his strength. In that sphere, we don't have the power to do the works ordained by God. We need to function in God, in the position He has given, to do the works of the works which God has ordained for us. And then Peter becomes, God goes behind him even after that. Then we had a thought in Chiklanta saying, if a believer, if an unsaved person rejects Jesus Christ, God is not going to go behind him. But if a believer rejects at any point in time, God never leaves him. He goes to the last extent. So Peter was fishing. He finally took everybody and went to fishing. God went there. So that's another great advantage we have, because at whatever state, once we are saved, God comes wherever we are and whatever we are, whatever state we are. But which privilege is not there for an unsaved person if he doesn't accept Jesus Christ in, as his Savior. And Christ restores him. And then he goes on to become the pillar of the church. And when we look at it in Galatians book, Peter functions again in the same fear. And he, fearful of James, the group which came from Jews, he goes along with the group which causes the distinction in the body of Christ. So he operates, going to such a height of the being a pillar of the church, and here he brings in the, he at least favors the distinction which Christ has removed and thrown out of the place, because he is functioning in his first self. But so that can happen for all of us. So yielding to Christ and functioning on the life which God has given us in Him is essential for us in our daily lives to be a great witness to the glory of God. Thank you.
Okay, wasn't that a good exposition of Ephesians 2, 1 to 10? You can ask him for all the Greek words. I think they had an awesome time in Chiklanta. Let's pray for the offering. Father, we, you know, thank you for these two messages. Thank you for the way your Holy Spirit uses these men, their minds, their hearts, to cause your word to come out in such a beautiful manner. Thank you for the labor of love. Raise up men and women that can preach the gospel, have a sense of boldness and courage to go out in faith in these summer months to reach the lost. We think of Aguilesh, who's gone to Coimbatore to be there till the end of the month. Bless him and help him on the team with Pastor Guru and his wife, and cause people to be mobilized in the body this month. Encourage each other in faith, Father, we pray. Even though we have vacations and other things, we just pray that we would not be slack or dull or passive, that we'd be quickened by your Spirit. Cause these messages to be meditated upon in our hearts by faith, to talk to each other about what was communicated tonight, and bless the offering and the faith missions that people have made commitment to give, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.